Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, and Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. The Reverend John Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. They said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is a lie that urges us to do as little as possible and escape our responsibilities and our duties and to live by the mantra of good enough. But no one sets out with the goal of being a lazy person. You know that very few feelings are as rewarding as a sense of accomplishment. It's easy to aspire to be a perfectionist, and I'd imagine that many of us do. Accomplishment, just like our duties and stations in life, it's a gift from God, and it is good. That's the reason why Satan, who always loves to twist what is good and true into a lie, uses this drive to ensnare us. He masquerades as an angel of light, cloaked in the good, the pious, the ambitious, and he knows how adept we are at turning good things into false gods. We love to envision ourselves successful. We fear losing control. We trust that it is in our own power to shape our own destiny. So there it is, with our fear and our love and our trust placed in that kind of shaky ground. Now Satan comes along to point out our unsteady position. For the perfectionist, he need only state the obvious. Say, you know, you missed a spot there. And that's the truth, of course. We are not perfect. The devil is very glad to show us this truth, to live up to his name, Satan, the accuser. For all your effort, he reminds us, you are still far from perfect. And what is an imperfect perfectionist but a total failure? Here the old devil has our perfectionism as his ally, ready to pursue even this crippling thought. If I have been such a failure so far, just imagine what kind of failure I could be in the future. And now that we can imagine. And our minds become busy, and our God-given drive for accomplishment is twisted to lock us up in worry and to paralyze us with fear. But dear Christians, the lie of the devil is that our life and our worth and our joy ever came from our accomplishment or our perfection in the first place. We did not earn our place in God's favor as his children. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and he has redeemed his people. The Lord breaks into our despair and our darkness to visit us. His visitation is not to chat or to check in on our progress. He comes to redeem us from sin and from death, and yes, from that old devil who torments us night and day. Our Lord comes to visit us with deliverance, to bestow his identity on us. And he covers us up with the righteous blood of his sacrifice. And that means that all of the law's threats, those are dealt with in him too. He is righteous, not for himself, but for you. He is holy, not for himself, but for you. The righteousness of God is that by which he declares you righteous. The holiness of God is that by which he sanctifies you. And you stand holy and righteous in his sight by faith in him, with a clean conscience, all the days of your life, freed. Freed from the myth that you are what you make yourself. Freed from the curse of having to be your own creator. Instead, to be his beloved creations, his children, his objects of great patience and care. And thus, free from yourself also, at last, to live in love. Love that flows from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And now, dear friends, it is as Zechariah sings it in the Benedictus. You are free to serve him without fear. Your labor in him is not in vain. Your works have good value on account of Christ, whose works are truly always good. The perfection is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are saved and we are blessed by what he has done. And he has not redeemed us in order that we might sit here wringing our hands, fretting our minds over doing the right thing, making the best choices, achieving perfection, and that good feeling of accomplishment that goes with it. No, he has redeemed us to trust in him for all things, including our perfection. God is pleased with you. He is pleased with you. Because he is pleased with Jesus Christ. And that's the one in whom you trust. Jesus is your righteousness, and that is enough for you. You do not work for your living. You do not achieve to justify your existence and your worth. You live not in the bondage of sins avoided, but you live in the freedom of sins forgiven. And that's how he will bring about many good works of love also. That's how he will bring about good and lasting fruit out of your labors, whatever they are. Christ speaks your heart pure, your conscience good, and your faith sincere. You now live by faith in the Son of God, who loves you and who gave himself up for you. And thus, you are, as Zechariah sings it, you are free to serve him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.